Just a light-hearted, on this serious subject, light-hearted comment to make this morning. I woke up nice and early, which I do on a Sunday morning if I'm leading or preaching, and then I dropped off to sleep again for about 15 minutes. And it was that deep sleep where I shot straight into a dream. And the dream was that the notes that are in front of me now turned black completely. The whole pages turned completely black. I'm pleased to say that they haven't. They're still there this morning. But it was a very disturbing dream. Or was it a nightmare? So there we are. Those really quite difficult questions. When has God not answered your prayer? And why do you think the answer wasn't the answer that you had hoped for? These unanswered prayers are prayers that we believe we should be praying. We may pray earnestly, long and hard, and over a long period of time. We pray for ourselves, for our own life situations. It might be a job that satisfies, sustains us. It might be for a partner. It might be freedom from addiction. It might be for our health, and so on. And we pray for others, that our loved ones will find faith. We pray for peace in the lives of others who are distressed for whatever reason, those who suffer. We pray for healing, for miracles, for those carrying a disability. We pray that life would not be cut short by changing illnesses, life-changing illnesses. There are many prayers that we pray. We don't always see answers. But we've given testimony this morning of prayers answered. And we know in the scope of all of this that prayer works. Let's not in any way, as we look at this aspect of prayer, consider that prayer doesn't work. But there are occasions when the outcome seems different to us, and we find that hard. You may have heard other Christians say in those circumstances, God doesn't answer your prayer in accordance with your timeline. You may have to wait. It may be not yet, and sometimes that's true. Sometimes we just have to be patient and await God's timing. But there are other times when God seems to be silent. What then? How do we make sense of this outcome to our prayers? We're left with questioning why. Why not, Lord? Why not heal? Why not stop the suffering? Why not come in and change the situation for me or for others? In his book, How to Pray, Pete suggests that there are perhaps three particular reasons why we don't see the answers that we'd like to see. God's world, God's battle, and God's will. I think this is helpful, and we're going to briefly look at each one. God's world, what does he mean in all of that? His beautiful world. There's no doubt whatsoever in my mind that miracles happen in the world. We read of remarkable, miraculous healings in the Gospels, in the time of Jesus, and the early followers of Jesus, in the Bible, in the Acts of the Apostles, in the letters, and so on. The power of God to miraculously change things is real and remarkable. And such miracles still happen today. The Spirit of God that was poured out on the disciples is the same Spirit that fills the lives of believers. We have no reason to doubt that God's Spirit isn't with us, or that his power isn't at work in the world. Miracles happen, but they're called miracles because they are unusual occurrences. They don't happen all the time. Most of the time, the world operates in a predictable and consistent way by what we refer to as the laws of nature or of science. The sun rises in the morning, descends at the end of the day. We might not always see it, but it does. And that pattern happens every 24 hours, every day. God doesn't change these things every time we pray. Can you imagine the chaos if he did? Many young people, Sally was sharing, have been taking exams, revising, facing the stress and demands of the examination room. If they pray for more time to be given them to complete their exam paper, it shouldn't come as a surprise to find that God doesn't give them that time. He doesn't stop the world from turning. every time a Christian takes an exam paper. That doesn't mean, however, that God couldn't do that if he chose to, or that he doesn't have the power to do it, because he has. Read Joshua chapter 10. On the day the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel, Joshua prayed to God for the sun and the moon to stop turning until the nation avenged the enemy. And God did. But it's an extremely rare event for anyone to ask of that of God and for it to happen. This wonderful and delicate balance of our beautiful world that God has made ensures that it's a safe place for all of us, all God's creatures, to live, to multiply. And we're learning the hard way about the impact of our mishandling of that balance, the world that God has given for us to take care of. So praying that we won't get hurt if we jump off a high diving board, I like this image, into the water when we've got no idea how to do that and land safely, no idea at all, it isn't likely to bring the result that we pray for. Gravity will act upon us. We will hit the water hard and it will hurt. God's world, just a flavor. We can only touch on these things briefly. Second one is God's battle. We are called to pray. Jesus taught us to pray. Jesus taught the disciples, and he set the example. The Apostle Paul said that we should pray continually. Prayer should be a vital and ongoing discipline in our lives. Why? Because there is a spiritual battle going on in the world. We pray, "Thy kingdom come on earth as in heaven." We're still on earth. We taste heaven, but it isn't here yet in all its fullness. It's coming. God calls us into battle, a battle of prayer against the evil forces in the world that are resisting the coming of the kingdom of God. It's that straightforward. That's what's happening. We live in that space at this time. Forces that deceive and distract us. And those who do not know God and try to thwart God's purposes. Writing to the church in Ephesus, Paul said, "Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God." That's the language of battle, isn't it? Imagery of protection and weapons of a Roman soldier, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And he went on to say, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. One of the ways that the evil one uses to cause us to be ineffective as followers of Christ in the world is to lie to us about prayer. He puts doubts in our minds, confuses our thinking, keeps us away from the place of closeness with God, and tells us that prayer is ineffective. Tells us that we don't need to make the effort. Just some of the deceptions of the evil one. And if we get lazy in prayer, the evil one tends to back off. We're no longer a threat. We may have bouts of guilt about praying, so we try again. And as we do, the evil one raises his head again and attacks us so that we question of ourselves, is it worth it? But it is. And we must pray and we must persevere. As we do so, we will overcome. The dictionary defines the word perseverance as to continue in a course of action, even in the face of difficulty, or with little or no indication of success. To continue in a course of action, even in the face of difficulty. Sometimes prayer is difficult. I'd suggest if it's not difficult for us, we're not trying hard enough. We're not going deep enough. We're not connecting with the things that are on God's heart, the things that are taking place in the world where the battle is strong. But God equips us. And this lovely, clear illustration of armor, this Romans, I'm going to show a picture in a minute, but this imagery is so helpful to us. And Paul says, remember to wear the whole armor, the belt of truth buckled around your waist, the breastplate of righteousness in place, your feet with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, ready to go. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. You can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Sally said wow last week. I think there's a wow there too. All of that has been given to us. All of that. As we are involved in this world for Jesus. It is a battle, and we have to work at it. And the third one is God's will. And this is where we come to the why of pray. Yield, or say yes to God for his will for us and for others. We don't often share quotations of nuns. Why not, you might say. But I think it's fair to say that nuns know a thing or two about praying. Sister Benedicta Ward was a Church of England nun, theologian and historian, and she studied in Manchester until she died last year. And in her writings on prayer, she said this: the will of God is not to be confused with the will of the person praying. The will of God is not to be confused with the will of the person praying. A simple statement in many ways, but surely it contains a deep truth. Truth, in fact, that's spoken of in the book of Isaiah. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God is God. And we are his people, his creation. We are invited to commune with God, to pray, to come to know him, even to be filled with the Spirit of God, the same Spirit that was upon Jesus and raised him from the dead. But we are not God. However worthy our prayers may be, they will not always be in line with the will and purposes of God. It gets particularly hard when we are convinced that they are. But they're not always. You see, there's a bigger picture that God holds for this world and for the world to come. He is working his purposes out for the whole of humankind and all that he has created. We see his purposes being worked out. We have the story of people described for us in the Bible, God's people, Israel. We see the New Testament, the coming of Jesus, God's Son, into the world to redeem the world. We hear Jesus praying for the coming of the kingdom. And we know the hope of that kingdom in our hearts and minds. God's desire is that we will all come to know this big picture and to know God himself. For those who have come to know God and his peace in their lives, there's a job to do. And that's, of course, to be his witnesses in the world, pointing others to himself, serving as Christ served, offering the invitation of life to all, working for the coming kingdom in the world, in the places that we live, amongst our families and our communities. This is what God is doing. For our prayers to be in line with God's heart and God's mind, they need to be in line with this agenda, with God's purposes. Praying for ourselves, yes, and for our own situations. But then looking outward and praying into the ways in which we can bring the kingdom of God into the world. If our prayers focus only on ourselves, if that's where we get to in prayer, even in this course, then we really have missed it. Because we are part of this big picture of what God is doing. And that is what God is bringing about in the world. And that's what he wants us to be involved with and to pray about, to engage in, to work hard in prayer for, where there are battles with the evil one. The pain of unanswered prayers that seem to us to be in line with God's purposes and yet do remain unanswered are difficult. And that word yield is where we have to go. To yield to God, to submit to God, to say yes, even if we'd like a different outcome. Accepting that God might be saying no or not yet. Sometimes none of these three ideas, these three thoughts about why prayers aren't answered in our way may not quite resonate with where we are. The pain of God not intervening, not answering our prayer. There is no explanation that settles our mind. What then? Well, I found these words of Pete Gregg in a short video clip that we'll watch now that accompanies the series to be helpful. In the video, he refers to Sammy. Sammy is his wife. And you may know Pete Gregg began the 24/7 prayer movement. And very shortly after that movement began, his wife was diagnosed with a brain tumor. She survived, but she was left with many consequences of that, and she continues to suffer from severe epileptic fits. He's been through the pain of not seeing his wife fully healed, and he's been through the attack that that brought upon him as he set up the 24/7 prayer movement. This is what he has to say.
Even in the middle of suffering, we can know the hope that comes from God's love. And we always want God to airlift us out of our problems, right? That's a miracle, that's
yes,
an answer to prayer.
Please, Lord.
Right. And sometimes he does it.
Yeah.
But more often he parachutes in and he joins us in the midst of the trouble and the problem. That's been my experience, definitely, with Sammy's illness. Mm. He's often come very close to us in sometimes the scariest times. And so I'm learning to ask the question of God, where, not why. Mm. I find when I say to God, why did this happen? Why, he doesn't really answer me very much. But when I say, where are you in this situation? He always answers. Mm. And when we come to God with that question, where are you? We start to experience his presence even when we're going through hard times and disappointment.
Yeah, that's really, really so helpful. Where, not why.
Yeah.
Parachutes, not airlifts.
Right.
God's world, God's war, and God's will. Mm-hmm. Faith and faithfulness.
And you know, there's just one last little thing that helps link together both our understanding of God's will and Christ's prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he utters that great prayer of relinquishment, where he says at the end, not my will, but your will be done. And that's the hardest prayer anyone can ever pray. When we're in those situations and we're scared and we're hurting and God doesn't seem to be answering our prayers the way we want or maybe even need, and we come to that place of saying, not my will, but yours be done. It's a prayer of relinquishment. It's a darker kind of trust. You know, every fiber of your being wants God to just parachute in and rescue you, but you just say, I'm going to trust you regardless.
Let me pray for us. Lord, we thank you that you teach us to pray, and we thank you that many have gone before and learned how to pray throughout their lives, and we benefit from what they have done, what they have learned, and what they've taught us. Father, there's a real battle in the world which we understand, but do we grasp it spiritually in the way that you need us to? to come to you, Lord, with expectation of prayers answered, but also with an understanding that there is a battle in the world, and that your kingdom is coming, but it's not yet in its fullness. Lord, thank you that you equip us. Thank you that you give us the resources we need. Thank you that the evil one, his flames can be dashed and destroyed. That we can walk with you and that you are with us. Lord, for some we carry difficult prayers not yet answered. And for all of those, Lord, I pray that you would come and bring your comfort today, your assurance of your presence throughout the storm, throughout the dark valley. Strengthen faith, Lord. You are there. You will see us through. Thank you for answered prayer, for all that we've shared this morning. Thank you that you engage with us day by day. You are interested, you are concerned about everything that happens in our lives and the lives of others. Help us to treat prayer seriously, to take these things that we've been learning and to apply them to our lives, that we might know more closely, more honestly and more accurately where you are at work in the world and where you've called us to serve, where you want us to engage with others to bring your kingdom. And Lord, this morning I want to pray for particular situations, Lord, for those who are grieving today. We pray for the family of Tina Huxley. Ellie Huxley, who was baptized here last Sunday, her grandma, who died following a battle with cancer. We pray for Paul, for the family, many of them here last week. Bring your comfort to them, Lord, we pray, and thankfulness for Tina's life. We pray for Anne Wilson here, whose mum died just yesterday. Thank you, Lord, that she reached her 99th birthday. Thank you that she loves you, that we know where she is now with you in the heavenly place. Lord, I pray for our fellow believers in Pakistan as we've been asked to pray today, where the laws of blasphemy have been misused in order for Christians to be punished and victimized, and for this as it has flared up over recent days. Lord, help them in their struggle. Keep them strong in faith. Provide for them, Lord. Protect them. And help them to be faithful witnesses to you. And Lord, we pray for Aslan's family, for Arizu this morning, who's not well. And we pray, Lord, that you'd bring healing to her. Whatever support and help she needs would be hers. And that you'd restore her to full health, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.